Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And we're back. It is Today's Issues. It is March 12th. Folks, you still have time to get your Christmas shopping done for 2024. It'll be here just around the corner.
Before you do that, I would say take your Christmas decoration down.
Yes, that's right.
There you go.
I got a friend that I was talking to over the weekend. We were talking on the phone, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, we're just knocking out a little bit of yard work." Yeah. Sunday afternoon, beautiful day.
Yeah.
I said, and then I asked him. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, well, I'm getting down the Christmas lights." I said, "What, are you joking?" He was like, "No." I said, "I thought I was late. I did it at the end of January." And he did it at the end
March.
We're now second week into March, and he was doing it. And then I went further. I said, did you try convincing your wife to let you keep them up? And he said, "No, it was the other way around. She said, leave them."
Oh, she said, leave them up.
Yeah. But of course, he was taking them down.
Well, you do reach a point where you have to question whether it's worth taking them down or not.
Yes.
Around July, they start becoming early for next Christmas.
But I just thought it was funny. Usually it's the man going, "They're fine, and I don't want to have to take them down."
Yeah. Blah, blah.
But she was the one that said, "Leave them up. It's fine."
Now, you were doing a little yard work this weekend, but now you've been doing some other stuff with 8 Days of Hope, right?
I have, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to mention that. Just yesterday, I took my family, one of my baseball players that I coach, and his family, and a couple other friends, and a lot of staff at AFA. All of us went over to Amory, Mississippi, where 8 Days of Hope is set up a camp there, and they're serving the Amory community in Mississippi for 8 days, maybe a little longer. Usually a couple of the staff members hang around. A couple of the local volunteers will stay around after the 8 days, but they've got 8 Days of Hope has a coordinated effort to revive the community, because it had a tornado come through just over a year ago, or right at a year ago. Right at a year ago, a tornado came through that area of Mississippi, destroyed it pretty badly. And yesterday, myself and the ones that I drove over to Amory with, we were given an opportunity to rebuild and to remodel Hatley, Mississippi's baseball area of facility. There's four fields. There's a concession stand.
It's a
community. That's right, a community baseball facility. And it was in bad shape before the tornado, because it's a rural, right, local, small town of fields. But it was obviously destroyed with the tornado. So it got a major facelift. It looked 3 to 4 times better than it ever would have. So God is doing great work through the hands and feet of 8 Days of Hope, their coordination and their efforts, along with the people that volunteer like myself. And over 80% of the volunteers that were there were AFR listeners. So kudos and thank you for those that are listening that take the time to volunteer. And while there are many things going wrong in the world, and especially in America, I looked around yesterday while I was on top of a roof, putting a roof together. I was looking around going, thank God for Christians.
Yeah,
thank
amen.
The Lord for Christians. Everyone there 100% volunteered. No one's getting paid. The attitudes and efforts, they weren't there just because they had to fulfill a commitment to show that they did some community service. Everyone there was like, it was the email that I joked about in the first segment. It was over encouragement.
Yeah.
It was almost like, wait a minute, we're encouraging, but we need to get some work done too. You know,
yeah.
It was just.
I think also the numbers are 1,500 volunteers over the 8 day period will be. This is a community about half an hour from us here, mm-hmm. Amory, Mississippi, and tornado destruction. And this is 8 Days of Hope has done tornado.
Disaster relief.
They did Mayfield, Kentucky. They did an 8 Days of Hope there. So, but 1,500 volunteers. The organization is just amazing, and they and so you and your family went down for that.
Yes. Last thing I'll mention on that is that I walked up. We had our group, and I was the only male I had my son and baseball players. I was the only grown man that was with our group.
Yeah.
And so I thought I needed to be there to make sure this group that I brought of ladies and kids, that we did what we stayed in line, right?
Yeah.
So we get in line to get our paintbrushes and our paint.
You were going
to paint. We're going to paint a fence. And I was there to make sure everybody stayed in line. Well, I was the last one. I was at the end of the line. And before I grabbed my paintbrush, I need to get a bottle of water. So go get a bottle of water. And while I'm getting my water, a guy says, "Hey, can you hold this board for me?" And that was all
eight
she
hours
wrote.
Later. You get
eight
off
hours
the roof.
Later. I'm building a roof for Hatley's baseball field for their concession stand. And so we joked about that all yesterday afternoon. But that was fun. I enjoyed it. Just a wonderful opportunity. Last thing I need to mention, totally separate from 8 Days of Hope, AFA is offering a pastor's appreciation dinner at the end of the month, and you can find all the details out about that
at our campus.
Yes, so on our campus, we are having a pastor's appreciation dinner on our campus. It's an effort that we're having to continue to build relationships with our listeners and our local pastors. And so we offer that. All the details are at afa.net/events, afa.net/events. It's completely free. There'll be gifts that we give your pastor for coming. So please sign your pastor up at afa.net/events. It's March 26th, 6:30 p.m. It's a free dinner, a free event. We're not asking them for anything. There's no hidden tricks here. We just want to tell our local pastors in the Lee County area. And if you want to drive from Alabama, you know,
Tennessee. Well, don't you got a banjo on your knee?
That's right.
So if someone from Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, or whatever,
absolutely.
Wants
they want to drive.
You want to drive.
Jeff Shreve will be here. Pastor Jeff Shreve will be here.
That's
it's
right.
It's going to be in Tupelo. What day is that?
That's March 26th, 6:30. All we do is ask that you sign up so that we have a head count and make sure that we have enough food and everything.
Right.
But it's just, when you hear me say that, you're thinking, okay, what's that about? It's literally just to say thank you, because we understand that the local pastors have a lot, a lot on their plate, and we want to say thank you and begin building relationships with them.
I do have little 5-minute timeshare thing. but there's going to be no pressure.
Right. Okay?
That's after. Keep everybody around after. Right.
kind of a side gig I got going on. Yeah. So anyway,
pyramid yeah. scheme.
Well, it's not a scheme.
Oh,
it's not a scheme.
No, it's a real pyramid.
Real pyramid.
I'm just at the top.
Be cynical, Wesley.
I appreciate
this is going to help people.
That's right.
Steve Paisley Jordahl's in the studio now.
Good morning,
patiently
everybody.
Waiting. How you doing, Brother Steve?
I'm well, thank you. I'm just sitting as Wesley shares his 3 minutes worth of stuff. I'm thinking the acorn didn't fall far from the tree.
Right.
I want to add to what Wesley said. Heather and I were shopping at Walmart last night, about 8 o'clock, and I had to replace the heaters in the water heater we have, the Element.
Yeah.
And so it's a fairly straightforward thing. I'm not the biggest handyman around, but it's something I can handle. But you're supposed to do some checking with some electronics to make sure that there's electricity flowing to the terminals and that there's continuity through the Element, and I didn't have any of that. Anyway, we ran into there's a bunch of 8 Days of Hope people in Walmart, and you knew because they're all wearing their 8 Days of Hope shirt. And we started talking to some guy, and he's asking what we're doing. And this guy, his name is Ryan, and he said, "Oh, I'll come over. I'll help you." Okay.
Yeah.
So we go home, and not 10 minutes after we get to home, my doorbell rings, and there's Ryan. And he does all the electrical stuff. We start trying to drain the water heater. It's taken forever to drain the water heater. He didn't get out of my house until 11 o'clock. And the nicest guy.
Where was he from? Do you know?
Yeah, I did at that, but I don't.
Well, and he had to start early again this morning.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. His son.
Fantastic.
He's got about a 17-year-old son who had to stay up at the church to let him in because they closed the doors to lock the church up about 9 or 9:30 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I'm just very grateful. Thank you, Ryan.
If you want to know what 8 Days of Hope is going to do next, where they're going, how you can volunteer, if you want to participate, go to their website, 8daysofhope.com.
You mentioned that they were at the Missouri There is not a disaster that happens here that makes the news that they're not there.
Yeah.
Every single time, if there's something that makes the national news, I call Steve Tiber. You guys going, yeah, we're already there.
Right.
That's awesome. They've got a radio program, I believe, on the weekends, too.
On here, on AFR, yep.
They did it live on Saturday.
That's right.
And that website, folks, is 8daysofhope.com with all the words spelled out, 8 days of hope.
I've tried. It actually works if you do the 8. Too.
Oh, it does?
Number
okay.
8. It just,
all right.
It, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Done.
First story, Steve.
Things boiling over down in Haiti and in the Caribbean. Well, they're having a meeting now to try to figure of different. Anthony Blinken is down there trying to figure out what to do with other leaders.
He's not in Haiti.
No, he's in Jamaica. They're meeting in Jamaica, but
Haiti's turning into a lawless. They had a jailbreak, right?
Yeah.
Well, explain what happened.
Well, so they declared a state of emergency this month, they had two prison breaks. There's a guy, a gang leader there named Jimmy Barbecue Scherzer, and he is leading an alliance to overthrow the prime minister, whose name is Ariel Henry, who is out of the country, happens to be. So they prison broke all of these gangs, and they just started riots down there. Basically, the United Nations estimates that only over 362,000 people have been displaced, half of them children. Thousands have been killed in this thing. And just yesterday, Haiti's prime minister, unelected prime minister, Ariel Henry, has said he's stepping down and they're going to have new elections.
Okay, so Haiti, obviously, as you said, in the Caribbean, it's on an island that's divided by the Dominican Republic, right?
Yes.
So you got the Dominican Republic.
Hispaniola, I think, is the island.
The entire island. And then on the other half is Haiti. And Haiti has always been the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, the most impoverished. But now what's happened is, isn't it just one coup after another with those folks for the most part, like every 10 years?
Or, huh? It's been.
I mean, it's just a volatile government, whoever's in charge.
Right.
And now you basically have a jailbreak or two jailbreaks where all these criminals were released and they've got the guns and they're taking over the island, basically. And so Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, is meeting with other Caribbean leaders. Is that right? And Jamaica, is that what they're doing?
They're trying to figure out all of them have pledged aid money and try to. There's a lot of concern on our part.
Should we care?
Well, there's a lot of concern on our part that a lot of these prison break gang members are going to make their way to our southern border, where they will be rigorously vetted and turned back if they dare to cross.
Yeah. I didn't mean to sound. I was asking a rhetorical question. I didn't mean to sound callous, because it is in our backyard, so to speak. And I'm sure the U.S. will do whatever we can, but you can't take over the island with U.S. military and restore order.
Right.
I don't think anybody's in favor of that. But you're right. There is concern that these criminals, these gang members, will come to the U.S. on floats or however they get here and, be welcomed in by Biden and company, and that'll be more problems for our law enforcement here in the U.S. to consider. Listen, last half hour, I brought this up, and we can talk about this more later. Maybe get an expert on to talk about this, but there is a growing concern about these Venezuelan gangs that are Venezuela basically opened up their prisons and told them, "Y'all go."
Yep.
Huh. And a lot of them are coming to the U.S. They're similar to the Mexican drug cartels. You don't want these folks to set up camp in the U.S. in cities or
they're not sending their best.
They're ruthless, And so that'll just be more problems for our local law enforcement.
When law and order leaves a place, something fills the vacuum, and it's never good.
Right. Well, this is, if you want to blame somebody, you can blame Biden, Joe Biden, the president, in a large way for facilitating these criminals coming into the U.S., like the guy who killed the young lady in Georgia.
Yes.
You know, Lake and Riley. All right. Well, he hadn't been convicted yet, so it's allegedly. But I'm just saying, you're going to see more and more and more and more and more and more of that, unfortunately.
Did I read correctly that some of these gangs in Haiti, because a bunch of people broke, like we said, broke out of prison, that one of these gangs is like cannibalistic too?
I did.
I saw that.
About that, yeah.
Anyway, when you're saying these are not people to mess around with, I think Haitian gangs have been in some of our large cities for a while now. But to your point, if you're a part of a gang in Haiti and it is complete chaos, you want to go somewhere where you can make money, you know, and that's the United States.
Yeah.
They already have Haitian gangs here. If you want to start your own Haitian gang, and we're talking about people who don't mess around.
Need to register with IRS.
Yeah, right.
You're going to start a gang.
Start a gang. You need to do it properly.
Yeah. If you want to start a criminal enterprise like other people do in D.C., okay, need to register with the government
and
become official.
Get you some
anyway, it's very – we talked about the last –
800 Lois Lerner.
Yep. All right, next story.
All right. We're finding out that the federal government circulated a list of hate groups to U.S. banks and financial institutions like these, like PayPal and those kind of things. The hate group list was compiled from and mostly all conservative groups, and they turned the information over to the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And the purpose of this was to this is more of the weaponization of the federal government. This is weaponizing the banking, and they did the government encouraged these banks to do what they're calling debanking. In other words, a lot of these nonprofits, we're on that list. American Family Association, FRC's on that list, and they would go and to try to pay their employees or deposit something, and they'd be told your bank account is closed. So none of these, the government encouraged these banks not to do business with any of these so-called hate groups. I got a list of them, but we've been at looking at the hate list by a group called the Southern Poverty Law Center for a while, and we wondered, are they involved in this? This is the executive summary. Let me just read the first two sentences. Hate is surging across the United States, period. Figures released by the Southern Poverty Law Center suggest that the number of hate groups rose steadily. So they are all over this.
Listen, by the way, Elon Musk the other day tweeted out, and it's not called tweeted anymore. What do you call
X'd
it?
X'd out?
Yeah, he X'd out. Wasted. Sent a message out saying the Southern Poverty Law Center is a sham, basically. It may be used a different word.
Did he say scam? He might have said scam.
Scam. But anyway, this is this group in Montgomery, Alabama, and they put out a national hate group list every year. And we're proud members. I mean, we're
repay our fees.
I think we may be the longest standing group listed, huh?
Repay our fees.
Repair our dues.
Yes.
Show up.
We're just glad to, you know, do our part. But we're on there. We'll eternally be on there. They don't even update our website. Their website about us.
Our page.
They got stuff from 20, 25, 30 years ago, and they're still using it. They really need to refresh it.
Well, to be fair, I guess we do base our opinions on the Word of God, which never changes. So
yeah.
A lot of that stuff probably still applies.
Yeah. So. Well, what they'll list us like with some neo-Nazi group or the KKK chapter or somebody. Anyway, it's ridiculous, their list. But what's not ridiculous, it's ridiculous, but it's not in the least funny, is what happens is these, like the Biden administration, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Is using, I don't know which of their federal departments.
This is through the Treasury Department.
Okay. What they do here, here's why it's dangerous. The Treasury Department, for example, here, and it depends on who's in the White House and who's overseeing it.
Yep.
Because if a Republican is in there, then we're safe, okay, for the most part, from having this discriminatory, unfair label put on us and other groups. Family Research Council's on there, Alliance Defense Fund. But what they do is, in this case, the Treasury Department puts out a memo to banks all across America. Hey, these are groups you need to avoid doing business with because they're hate groups. Now, this isn't the Treasury Department doing their own research to determine whether or not these groups are a hate group. This is them deferring to a politically driven, by the way, very discredited organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, to what they say is a hate group.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So, but it's because they're the Democrats and Biden are liberal, extremely so, quote, progressive. So they believe what they believe that any group basically on the right and conservative would be defined at de facto a hate group. So there's a whole list of them on there, and we're one of them. And so they're trying to interfere. This is where I have a real problem. You have the federal government through the Treasury Department, politically driven by Biden and the Democrats, trying to get banks to cut us off.
Right.
Sounds like Marxist.
Yeah.
Marxism.
Us and other groups. Now, it hasn't worked.
No.
We have been cut off before by Discover Card.
Yes.
And we got cut off by Stripe, which is a credit card processing company, got turned off overnight. So we've felt the effects of this kind of discriminatory action. You don't even get a chance with these people to say, like I think we did with Stripe.
We'll get a fair trial, fair discussion.
I think one time with Stripe, we said, "What are you talking about?
Show us what you want us to do."
Yeah, what?
We're not saying we'll change, but at least give us an example of what you're talking about. Because maybe we can.
What they do though, they farm out their definition of hate to another third party.
That's right.
They won't even defend their own decision. You just see what I'm saying? So anyway, that does happen and has happened. But here, you have the. A few years ago, it was the Defense Department.
Well, that's what I was going to. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, but go ahead.
What I was going to say is, in years past, they've also used that list in other areas. So we've had local law enforcement contact us and say, "I was in a training, and your name popped up for a hate list."
Yes, because it was put out by then Obama's Department of Defense and also the Department of Justice. They also were using this Southern Poverty Law Center list, which we're on,
and it's distributing
it across the country.
It's problematic for any law enforcement or any bank or any business or any form of commerce to use a list like that from SBC. It's a problem no matter what because it's wrong. We're not. But it's way worse when the government gets involved and sends it down and says, "Here you go." Yes.
It's a far left special interest group that gets to define what hate is. It's their definition. And then the federal government adopts it as their list.
Yep.
By the way, the guy that walked into Family Research Council with a gun and wanted to kill everybody and shot the guard there, he got their names from Southern Poverty Law Center. And didn't the guy that shot up the Republican ball field?
I don't remember.
He was a Bernie Sanders financial
FRC supporter. We don't want people to think this is recent.
This was years ago.
It was years ago. But it did. He did get their name and their address from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
All right. My thanks to Wesley, Ed, Fred, Steve, Brent Creeley, our producer, Frank Turek. Appreciate Frank being on with us today. We hope you have a wonderful afternoon and evening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.